When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Lions get a win yesterday over Chicago. Get a little bit of their mojo back, huh? 34-17, looked very good offensively. Ran the trick play that had everybody talking today with the, what is it, the stumble, what was it called?
Stumble bum.
Where Jared Goff basically trips and fakes a stumble. Gibbs dives to the ground. The Lions offensive line or sideline starts yelling, fumble! And then Goff just gets up and hits a wide open Sam Laporta for a touchdown. It was awesome, but probably more important is guys stepping up. Christian Mahogany stepping in the lineup and stepping up. Amik Robertson had a really, really good game. Lions defense held the Bears to under 20 points, which was cool given the fact that the Lions defense has lost so much. The Bears don't have an elite offense by any stretch of the imagination, and they made their own mistakes. The fumble on the jet sweep. Lions forced the fumble. The second fumble from Roma Dunze, but ultimately they look like a lot of what they've looked like this season, and results near the end of the year are more important. They're more indicative of who you're going to be going into the playoffs. You couple that with something we talk about all the time, how things change. Philadelphia loses. Jalen Hurts got hurt in that game. Washington's defensive line was a problem for Philly. Saquon had 5 negative runs. Are they having problems up front? Now the Lions are one win away from eliminating Philly, who everybody was concerned about. Minnesota did find a way to get that win yesterday, so they keep pace with Detroit. Detroit holding the tiebreaker. It could come down to the last game. But with a Detroit win and a Minnesota loss this coming weekend, Lions will have clinched the division in the one seed. Just about any other result that comes down to the season finale against Minnesota. 248-539-9797. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Joe in Sacramento on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Joe.
Hey, what's up, guys? Quick question for you. Okay, say the Packers, I hate rooting for the Packers, but we're all going to have to do it this week. If the Packers win or actually lose to the Vikings, does that mean the Monday night game doesn't matter and Dan Campbell should sit some starters on week 17?
No, if the Packers lose, you said, or Packers win?
If the Vikings win and beat the Packers, that means we're going to have to go all out for week 18.
Yep.
So that means the Niner game doesn't matter.
In a very odd way, it does not.
So do you think he rests some starters?
I do not think he does.
Goes all out?
I think a case can be made for it, but I can't imagine Dan Campbell doing that. I think if you got a guy that, like, should he play? Shouldn't he play? He's banged up. He could use the rest. He's on the bubble anyway. Maybe you shade towards sitting him and waiting for the Minnesota game. But I don't think you go, we're not going to play Goff. We're not going to play Jahmyr Gibbs. We're not going to play perfectly healthy players to save him. I can't imagine him doing that. I can see if somebody's already hurt, him giving him a break.
Just given how the year's gone, you know what I mean? It's like, I could see Dan Campbell going full bore, but what would you do if you were the coach?
I think I would maybe rest injured guys that need rest, but I don't know. I think you get into a very slippery slope when you start doing that.
Yeah, I totally understand the logic behind it. I just don't know if there are coaches out there that would do something like that. And yet it does make sense. And it goes the other way too. Like if Green Bay beats Minnesota, I suppose, and then you're going all out to beat San Francisco, yeah, and then you lock it up, and then you could rest guys against Minnesota, and that's acceptable. But doing it the previous week is, I don't know if it's frowned upon or not. It just seems like it might be a little bit too much out of the box to do.
Makes sense. Hey, let me give you my champ and chump.
Sure.
Champ, Christian Mahogany, man. He stepped up big time. I have hope for that guard position in the future for sure. And then chump, the Seattle Seahawks, especially Geno Smith. Thanks, guys.
Seahawks are making a strong run for it. 248-539-9797. Mark's in Detroit and next. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you doing? Some of these callers don't be like my man talking about they about to win the Super Bowl. Well, nobody was saying that. All we were saying, we wanted to see a few things from them. And the Chicago team, as much as people bash them, they got a couple of pieces on that team. DJ Moore, Aduzier, and Allen, I mean, them are quality NFL receivers. So I just wanted to see what was the coverage going to be like and who they was going to do, and they look pretty good. I think we're not going to lose that much with Davis out with because of Amik Roberts. People don't know he played that position before at Oakland, and he's a feisty defensive back. He likes to get in there and mix it up.
He played really well.
I think the return of Manafamu, that's a big, because not only can he come down to the box, but he can cover too. So I think I think getting a bye week is a must. And you and Alex Anzalone come back, I think we're gonna be straight. And Gibbs, I don't think they're gonna miss a beat.
Well, Gibbs is. We talked about it last week. Thank you for the phone call. If there was one position where the Lions could actually afford an injury, it was running back. Nobody had the wealth of luxury, the depth that the Lions had, and it was. I think Gibbs, if you look at Gibbs, you know, statistically and what he's bringing to the table, as long as he holds up, he's going to do work. He is going to do work. That guy, his yards per touch was the best of the top six in the league in yards from scrimmage. He was sixth in the league yards from scrimmage, and he played 53% of the snaps. And he had the best yards per touch out of all those guys, Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley and Alvin Kamara. You really can make a case that he is literally the most explosive player in the league, explosive running back in the league.
He's impressive, and there were some impressive performances over the weekend. You gotta love Jahmyr Gibbs and what he can do, and it makes that draft. I mean, you look at what he's done in two seasons, and the stones that Brad Holmes had when he decided to trade back in the draft and still take a running back, whatever it was, 12th overall, whatever he was, 14th overall.
Yeah.
And they still go get the running back. And everybody's like scratching their heads, or they're ramming their heads against a wall thinking, you can't do that. You can't take a running back in the first round. The hard and fast rules that you really hate the hard and fast rules. I'm kind of on board with you on that. This is one of those things where you say, yeah, exactly. See what's happened here? This guy is incredible for the Lions. He is a multi-purpose running back that can run like any back in the league. He can get tough yards, or he can use his speed and get outside and take it to the house. And he catches the ball out of the backfield. He has become a complete running back. And with this tandem, when Montgomery's healthy, it's amazing to watch this team being able to just march down the field and eat up huge chunks of time. But Jahmyr Gibbs has been the real deal, and it's fun to watch.
Rick is in Novi and next. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for getting the call.
Sure.
Please tell me you got control of the eject button, because I'm going to come at Gator right now.
Why?
The champ are the Lions and everybody in the locker room after the game that actually get it done. The chumps are the college football playoff system and the change to it. More marginal teams getting in, Doug, have produced three brutal football games. And Gator, let's go where the rubber hits the road. Let's ask the people that pay for advertising in the third and fourth quarter for those three games how happy they are that they have those spots. Those games were garbage, and that's what happens when you let more marginal teams in. Let's take the top eight rated
teams. Let's throw Alabama in and watch Alabama get rolled by 20 points.
He didn't say that. He said that the playoff is too big.
What's that, Doug?
You're saying the playoff is too big.
Yes, it's too big.
Yeah, I'm not arguing that. I think it's too big, too.
Yeah.
Well, Gator, the one caller that called in, right, that was trying to tell you how bad the games were, right?
No, and he was trying to tell us which teams didn't belong, and you can make a case that a lot of teams didn't belong. The weird thing is, though, were people making the same case when there were blowouts in a four-team system? Because there were blowouts in a four-team system.
You know what, Doug? The top eight-rated teams in the country would be awesome to allow Notre Dame to be an independent, just do whatever they want to do and still have the path they've got. Penn State's path through SMU and Boise. When Nick Saban has to couch his words because he's a paid commentator covering all these games, you can read through what he's trying to say. He's being professional about it. Those games were brutal, guys.
Yeah, I mean, look, here's the thing. The weird thing is they were brutal before, okay? And it didn't lead to this much outrage when there were four teams and they were brutal. I always argued against a playoff this big, but now that we got it, there's a chance there are going to be some blowouts. And so what? The same thing happens in March Madness. Duke wins by 40. Trash the system. Like, when you open it up and make it bigger, there's a bigger chance that this is going to happen. Okay?
I have a question.
Yep.
Are people more upset about the college football playoff being expanded? Or are they more upset about the teams that they actually chose? Or are they more upset about the fact that the games were not competitive?
I don't know. I think all of the above.
Yeah, because I'm trying to figure out what people are upset about. You know, like exactly what people are upset about.
I think that caller just thinks the games are too big.
You mean the
field is too big? Okay. Sorry.
Because I feel like it's. I'm just trying to understand. You know, they're upset, but what are you upset about? I want to know. Is there a solution, or are they upset because the games suck?
Let's see what happens after a few years. If the games suck every year and the evidence is clear, the question is, will they make it smaller? They won't, because that'll be giving up on revenue on games. The sad part is it is more likely that they will make it bigger. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket. Sarah Chevrolet, Sterling Heights. It's a great time to get in and score great deals. Tis the season to save. Right now, lease a new 2025 Equinox LT for $289 a month for 36 months. You heard it right. $289 on a 25 Equinox for just $19.99 down. Activate the savings with a GM employee discount. Current lease in your household. Also, a 2025 Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 2FL for just $329 a month. $329 a month for 36 months with $19.99 down. Same thing. Unlock with the GM employee discount and Chevy lease in your household. Call 87-SAY-SARAH or go to saysarah.com. Together, let's drive.
And Dan Campbell, Detroit Lions, getting all excited about this team. 13-2 record is incredible. Got a game Monday night against the Niners next week. And look, if things go well, Doug, that game could be awesome for the Lions. Meaning that on Sunday, if the Packers beat the Vikings, then the Lions would know on Monday night that if they beat San Francisco, they've effectively got the number one seed locked up.
They will have locked it up, yep. I just want to point out one thing about the college football playoff and the bitching today. First of all, I can't say this enough. It's year one. Can we let the thing breathe a little bit before we trash the system already? What happens if next year the games are great? But two is, does it feel like Indiana is getting most of the heat here today?
Indiana's getting some. I don't know, most of it, but I think it's, I guess most of it.
Indiana played the closest game.
I mean
technically they did.
Yeah, they did. Technically. Yeah. And look, they got some garbage points at the end, and they were down. They had 3 points going in the fourth quarter or whatever it was. But they did make it interesting at the end.
Like, I feel like, you know, first of all, complaining after year one is a quick-triggered overreaction. Let's see this thing for a few years before we decide the system sucks. Two is these games, these first-round games were average margin of victory was 19 points. The average margin of victory in the previous semifinals was 21 points. So, you know, I don't know. I'm surprised there's so much complaining about it, but maybe I shouldn't be. 248-539-9797.
You know, I'm not a fan of Joel Klatt.
No, Joel's great.
He did.
I know you don't like him.
He did make an observation when people were dogging on the Big Ten and they're dogging on Indiana and dogging on these opening games, I guess, with point differential. And the point was something effective. Look at the NFL. In the same way, in the opening weekend of the playoffs last year with the NFL,
yeah,
the margin of victory is actually more in the NFL than what it was in college games.
Was it?
Last year in those wild card games played on January 13th, starting on January 3rd, that Saturday,
yep.
Houston beat Cleveland 45-14. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins 26-7. The Lions beat the Rams by 1.
Mm-hmm.
The Packers beat the Cowboys by 16. Buffalo beat Pittsburgh by 14, and Tampa smoked the Eagles 32-9. This is the professional level,
right?
So, this is how things go. And the way that this is set up with these really good teams that are holding court at home, no one's going to argue. Ohio State's a really good football team, right?
Yep.
They have a Michigan problem. Clearly, their only other loss was to Oregon by what, a point? So that's a good football team. They're playing at home against, SEC, here comes Tennessee. Yeah, they're in trouble with the game, Tennessee. They got hammered. Penn State had one loss. It was to Ohio State, correct?
Mm-hmm.
By like a touchdown. They sit at home and they smoke SMU. And then you get Texas beating like Clemson, and then of course, Notre Dame beating
Penn
Indiana.
Penn State had two losses. They lost to Oregon in Big Ten.
You're right, sorry.
There
was that one as well. But the point being that the teams that were hosting games on Friday night and Saturday, those are really good football teams. No matter who you threw up against them, unless it was going to be the top four teams that you're not giving them because those are bye games or bye teams, they were going to hammer. And they did. They did their job. These are better teams. So to your point, it makes more sense if this is an 8-team playoff instead of a 12-team playoff, but it is what it is. They go out and they played the games, and now you got matchups, and some of them are uneasy. Should Ohio State be playing Oregon? That's the reward? Yikes. But, okay, there it is.
Yep. You got to beat them eventually.
Exactly. There's a couple really, really tough games, and then there's maybe some not-so-tough games that on paper. We'll see how it shakes out in the actual game, but I'm excited for it.
Let's go to Larry next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Larry.
Hey, guys, great show.
Thank you.
Gator, I'm surprised you don't like Joel Klatt. Why is that?
I just think he's a pain.
Just giving you a hard time. Hey, Doug, great point about the playoffs. My buddies and I didn't think about that. We were saying that those first-round games were terrible. But
well, they weren't great. I don't get me wrong, but it happens in March, Matt. Yeah, it's... It's year one.
Yeah, you
Let's
get that when
happens.
You play. You get the 1 versus a 16 or the 2 versus a 15. Those are, you know, one time it's been where the one seed has beaten the top seed. So,
that's
you
true,
know, those games are blowouts.
Yeah.
But we don't want to trim down the field of that. But great point there. I have a champ and a chump.
Let's hear it.
Champ is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because that enabled my buddy to hit that parlay. $15,000. So shout out to Baker Mayfield. And my chump would be the Seattle Seahawks defense for leaving, actually double covering Justin Jefferson and still giving up that touchdown.
Let's go to Noah in Chicago. You're next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Noah.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay.
I just wanted to briefly on the guy saying,
Noah, can you talk directly into the phone? We're having problems hearing you, buddy. You sound like you're underwater.
Oh, sorry.
It's all right.
Sorry about that.
Much better.
I was just going to say, like, the one guy called in saying that if we rest our starters, if Minnesota beats Green Bay, I don't see it happening.
I don't either.
After hearing Campbell's post-game speech yesterday, they want revenge for that game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I if you got some guys on the bubble that could use another week's rest, you might shade towards not playing them in that game if the game doesn't matter, if the result of the game doesn't matter. But I just don't think that's the way Dan Campbell operates.
I also don't see Minnesota beating Green Bay next week.
You know,
I think Minnesota's schedule since playing us has been one of the weakest in the league. I'm not sold on them.
I'm not sold on them either, but I think those are two pretty good teams, and I think that they're pretty evenly matched. Both offenses can put up a lot of points. I think to me it comes down to which defense is going to make the better play and more impactful play.
The two biggest wins they've had in that time frame is over Atlanta, an 8-7 team, and Seattle, an 8-7 team, and then they've got a lot of Bears and Titans and Jaguars.
Cold.
And those are all teams, to be fair. The Lions played the Colts, Jaguars, Titans. They did it too. So I don't know. I think we're being a little bit spoiled by the Lions' margins of victory and forgetting that it's Minnesota's still 13-2. Still 13-2. Got to respect that. I know it's not as impressive as the Lions 13-2 because the Lions have huger, much bigger margins of victory, but 13-2 is 13-2. Now, they have been some weaker games of late, but the Lions share many of those opponents. Danny is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Danny.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Happy holidays.
You too. Same to you.
I'm just calling to champ Jared Goff. That's my guy. You know, people, you know, the critique around him over the years, can't throw the deep ball, can't win outdoors. But he looked pretty darn good yesterday, in my opinion. And my chump, I know, you know, it's all NFL yesterday, but I had my eyes set on that PNC. I'm a big golf guy. And I was rooting for Tiger and Charlie. Then we got Bernard teeing up from the ladies. He's darn near in the fairway and winning in the playoffs. I was a little bummed out there. A win's a win, but I got to chump Bernard Langer for that.
You got to chump Bernard Langer because
he won?
Because he made the eagle putt to...
He just won a Champions Tour event, I believe, a couple of weeks ago, give or take, and he's teeing up from, you know, distance in front of Charlie.
Well, I think it's based on age. You know, I mean, and Charlie was also teeing up further, 35 yards ahead of everybody else, too. So, I mean, it was fun to watch. It was awesome display of golf, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a big Team Woods guy, obviously. And, yeah, I know it was all NFL. I had my eyes on TV, too. I couldn't get enough of that event. Love that event. Love the show, guys. Like I said, happy holidays. Be
you
safe.
Too. It was tough yesterday. I really wanted to watch all of that, the golf, but it was on there at the same time as the Lions. So I'm flipping, like, during commercial breaks. And then I also knew that they were going to replay it later on that night. So I was going to try to catch that. But then the Lions game ends just in time to see them play 18 and then go to a playoff. It was pretty compelling. And then Charlie gets a hole in one.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you guys see that?
I saw the highlight.
Yeah, I saw the highlight too. Just real quick, golf is weird to me in general, the sport. And it was his first hole in one.
Yeah.
And he didn't even see it go in.
No.
Like, that happens a lot with golfers where don't see your hole in one going. To me, like, that's got to be one of the most exciting things you can do in golf. And you want to celebrate and enjoy and have fun, but you don't even see it.
Yeah, I've never seen one go in.
Never mind.
Could you imagine hitting a game-winning three and never see it go in?
Right, no,
you know what I mean? Like, I don't get
that's,
it. Like,
but that's also what makes golf great, is it's a target
does
thing.
Does it make it
you
great?
Know, you can't you see where the flag is, but you don't see the hole because it's elevated or it's hidden by a hump or whatever. A hump. A hump. Duck,
yes, a hump,
berm.
Yes.
It's a hump.
97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, so the cold weather is here, right? It is freezing out there. We know we had the temperatures were in a single digits the other day. It's rough. It can be really rough on your garage doors. I mean, they got all those moving parts. They're made out of metal. When the temperature drops, it can wreak havoc on those garage doors. Do the right thing. Call the great folks over at Precision Garage Door today. They know how to weatherproof things. They know how to troubleshoot things. They know how to hook you up if you need new garage doors. They are absolutely awesome. I've used them in the past for maintenance. They've helped me out with that. And when it was time to get new garage doors, I called them again, and Precision was there for the rescue. And we have great new garage doors in the house. I couldn't be happier. Jeff, the whole crew, they come out to the house. They assess the situation. Technicians are knowledgeable, and the service is stellar. Call Precision and today at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit their webpage at precisiondoormi.com.
Dan Campbell following the Lions win. You know what's interesting yesterday is Dan Campbell on the Lions opening drive was looking at a 4th and 2, and he took the points over going for it.
Saw that.
Kind of an underrated part of the game is, you know, he said, I'm not going to go for it all the time. We all remember that a couple weeks back. And there it is. That's the example of him not going for it all the time, as he just simply took the points.
And then later in the game, it's a 17-point game, a 4th down situation, and he goes for it. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some people were bent out of, I know some people were bent out of shape because I got some text messages. But you know, the logic you have there at that point is, okay, if you kick a field goal, you go up by 20.
Yeah.
It's still a 3-score game. If it's 17 or 20, it doesn't really matter. If you get a touchdown, you make it 24. Yeah, it's still technically a 3-score game, but you're also asking for 3 2-point conversions. I understood the logic. Plus, if you get the first down, you're also taking more time off the clock.
I always look at a 2-point conversion as another score. I mean, it's you're
fair enough.
If you're down 24, you need 6 scores. You need 3 touchdowns and 3 2-point conversions, and that's because they're not givens. Even the kicking extra points are no longer givens, but they're essentially givens compared to 2-point conversions.
Correct.
Let's go to Tim in Ludington. You're next. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you guys doing? Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you, Tim. Same to you.
I have 2 champs. Is that okay?
Sure. What the hell? We're crazy.
The guy on the sideline for Chicago, the firefighter saving that guy's life on the field.
Yeah.
Roth, Ben Roth.
That'd be my number one. And my number two is Ferris State University, national champs.
It's cool. They really got something. I mean, Valdosta was number one, and that game, I had it on with the college playoff game, the SMU Penn State game, and the NFL game, Kansas City and Houston. And I looked up, and it was 21-0, just like that.
Yes, they kind of handed it to them. Thank you, guys.
Yep, appreciate it, Tim. 248-539-9797. Other things from that game that stood out, we mentioned the stumble Ruski. We mentioned Amik Robertson. What do we make of, I know we like the backup running, but both Vaki and Jefferson, both sightings there.
Vaki Jefferson and Craig Reynolds.
Craig Reynolds, thank you. I was totally blanking. I was like, Craig, it's not Craig Montgomery. Why was I thinking Montgomery? I know why I was thinking Montgomery, and I knew it wasn't Montgomery. Craig Reynolds, I mean, serviceable, but I think we got a sense that it's going to be the Jahmyr Gibbs show. And they've got what we hope is 5 games left. Ideally, it's 2 regular season games and 3 playoff games. And that doesn't feel like it would be, quote unquote, too much for a running back who's only played 53% of the snaps leading into this game. He got a heavy workload yesterday, but thankfully doesn't have as much wear and tear as many backs do.
Yeah, I would I'd like to see that the total carries come down a little bit for Jahmyr Gibbs and trust a little bit more in bringing guys in like Reynolds, Jefferson, and Vaki to run it. I'd like to take the wear and tear off of Jahmyr Gibbs because I think the drop off is substantial.
Feels like it. Feels like it. It might be.
Yeah. Hopefully they can get by. I mean, if Green Bay beats Minnesota Monday night becomes really interesting that they can win that game and then they can we can breathe a little bit easier there and maybe rest a bunch of guys the following week against Minnesota because it just wouldn't matter. But these other players do step up. There's value to these guys. You know, Reynolds and Jahmyr Jefferson, 7 carries for 31 yards in the game. That's over 4 yards per carry. You look at Vaki, who had 2 catches for 20 yards. Jefferson had a catch for 10 yards. And Reynolds had a catch for 5 yards. I think it was 66 yards on 11 plays, 11 touches for the backup running backs. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So they do have depth there, and these guys can they're getting it done. And, you know, at the end, when it looked like, okay, it's just garbage time, the Lions are just trying to run the clock out, and you know that's what they're doing, and they're throwing these guys in there, and they're still ripping off good runs. That's when you know you've done something there.
Well, and the thing is, it's actually not his career high in terms of touches against Vegas last year. He had 26 carries and 5 catches, 31 touches in that Vegas game last October, had 152 yards rushing in that game. But we all know how explosive he can be. It was nice to have, you know, backs with slightly different skill sets. I don't think they're as different as we've all made them out to be, but they're slightly different skill sets. And you could keep them more fresh that way. And who hell, you never know. They might get David Montgomery back.
They might.
I don't know if I'm counting on it.
I'm not counting on it. I always like when you hear they'll get a second opinion. The second opinion says, no, he doesn't need surgery. And then let's get a third opinion. A third opinion is a tiebreaker and says, no, he don't need surgery. Give it some rest. And then maybe try to do some rehab and we'll see where he's at. I'm not counting on him. Mm-hmm. So I think it's vital that they keep Jahmyr Gibbs as healthy as they can. But at the same time, you've got to use him. You got to use him when you can.
Yep.
So here he is. And he's a weapon without question.
That first quarter, I think he had 10 carries.
Dude.
And I know the goal line stuff, so they gave it to him 2-3 times in a row, but he was on pace for 40 carries. And I'm like, oh my God, they're just going to keep giving Gibbs the ball. They don't care.
Their drive right before half to go up 27-7. I was happened to be just logging it. And I'm like, I'm going to leave all these plays. This is the drive. Screen to Gibbs, Gibbs run, Gibbs pass over the middle, Gibbs dump off pass, Gibbs run, Gibbs run, Gibbs run. Then they got the Bears to jump off sides, which was hysterical on that 4th-and-1.
Dude, I was so Bears. Are you kidding me?
Well, it so used to be Lions. Then they got it to Jamo, then Gibbs run, Gibbs no game, and then Amon-Ra for the touchdown. But yes, the 4th-and-1 was that we've been that team.
He had Gibbs had 139 yards from scrimmage in the first half. I mean, that's just so impressive. The halftime numbers. I mean, the Bears had 9 carries for 27 yards as a team.
Yeah.
They only ran it 9 times for 3 yards per carry, and some of that the big chunk came from Caleb Williams. You know, Jared Goff with 254 yards passing in the first half. 16 of 21 with a couple of touchdowns. And J-Mo had the 4 catches for 118 in the first half. A heck of a first half.
They definitely cut down on his workload as the game went on. 248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson. I just got a text from the Birchie kid who heard something funny on Cleveland radio.
Oh.
We will get to that and read it to you at 1248. Here are Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so I just got this from the Birchie kid who's driving through Cleveland right now. And he writes, driving through Cleveland on my way home and caught a sports radio caller on Browns Therapy Monday. He demanded that everyone from Myles Garrett to Denzel Ward to their bum-ass quarterback be traded, the con artist head coach be fired, and the sorry-ass owner sell the team or so help me God. And boy, did it bring me back. We've been delivered from the dark. That's what the Birchie kid wrote. And I'm like, yeah, we've had calls like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And Myles Garrett was talking to people over the weekend about his future with Cleveland. He wants a firm commitment that Cleveland's going to make a run for it. Otherwise, he doesn't want to be there. He wants to play in Cleveland, but he wants to be competitive, wants to play for a winner.
Yep.
So it sounds a lot like Max Crosby and what he has said with the Raiders. Hey, I love the Raiders. I want to be here. I'm not going anywhere, but I want to win. So, you know, big time defensive ends making demands.
Forgive us if we keep marveling at the fact that stuff like this is not our problem.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep doing it. 248-539-9797. Matt is on a cell and next. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? Watching that game yesterday. It was a really good game. I have no worries about them postseason or Super Bowl now. And then I wanted to ask, Gator, did you get the gift I sent you? I was working this morning, so I didn't get to listen to you guys. I just tuned in.
I don't know.
We've had a building. I saw something end up on our desk, Matt, but the entire building has gotten overhauled, and all our stuff is on the other side of the building.
It's really so it might kind be of strange. There's like a crate that's got a bunch of stuff in there for me, and I don't know.
I sent you. It's a FedEx package. I sent you something for Christmas, and I think you'll like it. Just whenever you get a chance,
I'll try to see if I can find it and open it up tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to keep listening to you guys. Enjoy your show.
Well, we appreciate you continuing to listen. Thank you. 248-539-9797.
I did see something in a FedEx package over in that area, so I hope to grab that. So thank you very much.
Yep.
Completely unnecessary.
Champ and Chump, get your votes in. Champ and Chump of the weekend. Who should be singled out for having the best weekend? Who should be called out for having a weekend that stinks? David Warren says, my champ, I'm going to go with a Lion, but I'm going with Penn State Volleyball and Farmington Mercy grad Jess Merzik. National champs, and Jess was named first team All-American and tournament most outstanding player. Plus, the team won despite the coach battling cancer the last few months. I'm not a Penn State fan, but a great story with a local tie.
That is a great story with a local tie.
Chump, the college football playoff first round, snoozer. Yeah, I mean, look, the games weren't great. You know what's funny? I had a buddy of mine send me a text on Saturday, and he goes, you know what today is? Today is what New Year's Day used to be for us when we were kids. Like, the idea that all these games back to back to back, and they felt very meaningful when we were kids, yeah. You know? I think originally it was the Sugar Bowl in the morning, Fiesta Bowl and started, and there was a truncated Fiesta Bowl, Rose Bowl start, and then the Orange Bowl was the night game, then the Sugar Bowl got moved tonight. The
Cotton Bowl, I felt, was earlier in
the night. Cotton Bowl was an early one, too. Yes, thank you. Anyway, and the games weren't great, but it's okay. It's just year one.
I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. You know what we saw? Dominant performances by really good football teams that now make it to the next round and take on the top four. I'm glad we see that. Like, there's no doubt about it that Penn State, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Texas, there's no doubt that those four teams belong, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt. So let's shut up about the other teams. These four are there, and now they get to play Arizona State, Boise State, with Georgia, and Oregon.
If 4 or 5 years from now, all of the first-round games are always blowouts, and then the games are good after that, a strong case can be made that let's shave the thing down.
Let's get it down.
And my instinct tells me we don't need 12 teams, but what pisses me off is we all know the more likelihood is they're going to expand to make more money.
Well, and one of the earlier callers was complaining about it, And specifically to me about it, because Indiana was there instead of Alabama, and talking about advertising dollars. I don't care about the advertising
that
dollars.
That shouldn't dictate what we do with our system.
It should never dictate, okay? It's a nice benefit if you get a blue blood program that gets in there, but when they don't belong in there because they didn't deserve to make it based on what they had done during the season because they lost some horrific games, so they don't belong in there, okay, opportunity missed. And I'm sure the network television, I'm sure they're not thrilled with the way the committee picked the teams. But I don't want network television picking out the teams.
Next, good morning, guys. Oh, this one's been in the hopper for a while. Good morning, guys. Merry Christmas. My champ is Detroit for the win over Chicago. My chump is Tennessee for allowing Ohio State to win on Saturday. How disappointing that game was. I wanted OSU to lose in the worst way. Ugh. Next one, champ Tony Anise winning his third championship in 4 years. Chump the Seahawks for not closing out the Vikings.
You're a B1G guy. Were you rooting for Ohio State against Tennessee? You can be honest.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. It's the same. I think it's great for the Big Ten, honestly. And I found the broadcast to be actually kind of amusing. They mentioned the Michigan game like 30.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Times, but at the end of the day, it's good for the Big Ten. Had they gotten beat, I would have enjoyed that too.
Right?
It's really, I'm sincere in saying that. You were around that night where I was making the case where I was rooting for Ohio State in the national championship game against LSU.
Is that your house? Yeah.
And then when they started getting routed, I was like, this is actually kind of great too.
But they're celebrating the end zone on a 10-yard return for a touchdown, and then he breaks his ankle in a celebration.
They were very impressive. Like, honestly, Ohio State was very impressive. And I have respect for Tennessee. Tennessee's a good team.
They are a good team.
But
man, it sure is satisfying watching the Big Ten beat the SEC.
I'm not mad about that at all.
No.
At all.
And now we get a rematch, and I know people don't like it. Is it too early to? I mean, you got 4 games left in the next round, and then obviously things change. But Ohio State and Oregon, the first time around, was that a pretty good game?
Yeah.
So now we're treated to the rematch of that game, which felt like it might be inevitable. Maybe people wanted it to be for the national championship, but here it is. Next week, they're going to play each other. It's going to be very, very fun to watch.
The most important thing to tweak moving forward to me is second-round games are in campus venues.
The only selling point that I can offer for expanding the group of teams, which I don't want to do because I would rather see it go to 8, but the only thing I can offer up for why you do it is because it does make games more interesting because they're playoff games. So, but the problem is it doesn't reduce the number of bowl games. The number of bowl games stays the same. They still have crappy bowls and they're going to be played, right? But if you were to somehow reduce the number of crappy bowl games, but you're expanding this group, now you're getting more players and teams where players aren't entering the portal right away. Players are not going to sit out the bowl game because, oh, wait a minute, this is a playoff game. So you're getting better matchups for me, the viewer. That is the only selling point for me. But as far as determining a champion's concerned, I think it should be less teams.
Scott writes in, some games are blowouts. This is football. It's not a movie. I'm mad at Ohio State because they beat Tennessee by too much. It's football. And he's right.
It's about matchups. Sometimes the matchup just isn't in the cards for a team.
No.
And definitely is for the other team.
248-539-9797.
They're definitely more likely to expand it than decrease it, though. I mean, and I don't care. And yeah, we don't want the networks determining any of this stuff, but they have influence. And the ultimate determining factor is going to be, we'll go back and look at the ratings this past weekend and see how they were. Even in these blowout games, if the ratings are good, they're going to be, the networks will be happy. You know what I mean? The advertisers will be happy. They just want eyeballs on their product and marketing. And so look at basketball. They're talking about expanding to 72 or 76 teams. Everything just keeps getting bigger because of money, guys. So in football, I don't see how this thing goes the opposite way. I think if anything, it gets bigger.
I'll combine the two a little bit with basketball, what basketball does with what maybe college football can do or maybe will do. How about a play-in game? Keep in my 12 teams, okay? But you get a play-in game to see who gets to finish up those games. So Alabama and Ole Miss, you guys play each other to see who gets to take on, you know, Notre Dame or whatever. Right? You know, if you want to throw Indiana in the mix and Miami, go ahead. Have a couple play-in games if that's how you want to expand it.
I don't want to do anything until 2028.
Will you go to Dayton for that, Gator?
That I would, yeah. I mean, football's different, yeah. And would I want to go to another campus to see a football game? You betcha. And do I want to see the SEC teams play up north? Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Unnamed texter, Doug, relax a little bit. People are going to be disappointed when the quality of football was as bad as it was. Complete waste of time. So people are going to be upset, first year or not. I mean, maybe you're right. Maybe I do need to relax a little bit. What bothers me is the people that cover the sport bitching about the system as if there's a perfect system. It's not the system's fault. And I wouldn't be blaming an 18 system or 16 system or 11.5 team system. You cannot, if you predetermine how many teams are making the playoff in a college football world where there are thousands of possible outcomes, You can't have one system that accounts for every possible screw up or controversy. It's just, it's not possible. And some years, 12 teams may look great. Others, it may not. Champ, the Detroit Lions, nice bounce back win. Chump, Seattle, thanks for nothing. Seattle's making a strong run at Chump. Simplest form, the Lions are 3 home game victories from going to a Super Bowl. That's from Jake in Indy, and he is right. If they beat Minnesota in the season finale, they're the one seed. Now, they could be the one seed before that, but you win that, you win 2 home playoff games, and the Lions will be in the Super Bowl. It's an amazing, they're again, it's tantalizingly close when you get that bye, and you just got to hold serve at home against a lesser seed to get to the NFC title game in your barn. Next one, I'm starting to wonder if they need trick plays to win. Seems like unnecessary gimmicks if you're a superior team. Well, the one thing I'll say to that is, and I know that there's that line of thinking out there. Some people think why are they running trick plays against the Bears? Is Ben Johnson says the well is deep. The well is deep. And you run those trick plays and opposing teams now have to prepare for them. And then you hit them with something else. 248-539-9797. All right, Gator, I got a question for you and for King. I want to get to that today at 102. Plus, there's a new commercial I don't like. It's not that new, but I find it disturbing.
Oh, you find it disturbing?
I find it disturbing. We'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour as well. Hey, are you a true Lions fan? If so, lean in. Hey, it's Doug for UMCU, the official credit union of the Detroit Lions. They're celebrating partnerships with our city's gridiron heroes, including Jahmyr Gibbs, big game.